Mary Magdalene, there she was. A lot of people think, you know, that she was the woman caught in adultery, you know, that they brought up Jesus' feet. And you know, the scriptures tell us that she had, what was it, 7 demons cast out of her, mm-hmm. you know. You can tell this woman was in love with Jesus. She mm-hmm. loved the culprit. The Bible says, "The much is forgiven, love much," you know.
Yeah.
But she looked down in there and she seen them 2 angels. But this preacher was saying this. Remember in the Old Testament there, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat? What was it?
Two angels
mm-hmm. that looked over and protected.
It sure is.
And then, you know, Jesus, he's, you know, in his blood, you know, they used to take that blood and 7 times put it on the mercy seat,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I don't think she realized it in her mind that day, but she was looking at the mercy seat of God in there. You know, and that story goes so cool how, you know, she turned around, you know, she heard someone, and finally he said, you know, called her by name, you know, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's called all of us by name.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy seat's called us all by name.
Amen.
And, but I thought that cool there, that over the years I've heard a couple of people talk and say that God could have done it in another way. You know, he could have chose another way for Jesus to die. It was not plan.
Amen.
There was no plan B.
Mm. Come on
now. You know, Jesus said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass."
Yes.
Lord didn't answer that prayer, did he?
Uh-uh.
You know, when Abraham, he's one man I want to shake his hand in heaven one of these days, you know. When Abraham took the bull out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, even before then, faithful Abraham, he kind of sealed the deal right
yes,
there with what he did. I mean, I say that. I mean, the deal was done before creation, I mean. But mm-hmm. but Abraham, you know, by saying, "Hey, I'll sacrifice my son," you know.
Mm-hmm.
God Almighty seen that, and he just, yeah, he probably thought, well, if man can do it, you know.
He
can do it too. I mean, there is no plan B. This
no
is
way.
The most wonderful, perfect tell of love there is.
It
and
is. It
and,
is.
And, you know, his word is true.
Yes,
amen.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And just like Mary that day, Mary Magdalene run off, take it off. The Lord have a little step too, you know.
Yeah.
Help us by name. And,
uh-huh.
and go tell others of the good story. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Miss Mary, come on up and let's
amen, amen, amen. Let's just give Brother David a hand on that. That was good. No plan B. No plan B because, praise God, from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Parshakatiya.
Oh,
he had a plan.
Amen.
When he made man, he had a plan.
Yes.
Praise God. That's the reason he made me.
He loves us so much. He knew how we'd mess it up, but he still did.
Still did. That's, oh, just think about what you said here. Think about it. He knew he was going to mess it up and still did it.
And still did.
Before. That's how much he loves us.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was good, Brother David.
Amen.
Praise God.
Life of God.
Father, we just come to you and we're just thanking you for your word. We're thanking you for this day. This is a day that you have made. And in your presence, Lord, there's fullness of joy. Father, every household that is represented here this morning, we want you to take them to a new level of living.
Amen.
We speak to every circumstances that stands against them. And we say, let the holiness of God have his way in every home this morning. And Holy Spirit, we know that you are our greatest teacher. So we turn this class to you, that you teach us, lead, guide us, counsel us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your divine presence. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that you have already anointed us for this class, for this teaching. And Lord, we thank you in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Now listen, we're still in chapter one. Who all have the books? Y'all make sure you bring your books to class, because we use these books. We're still in chapter one. And I'm going to tell you why. Mary Ward is the reason we're still in chapter one. I heard God's voice through her voice. And that's where we've got to be sensitive to. Sometimes God speaks to us through people. But because they're people, sometimes we don't want to hear them. But I heard God's voice through her voice. And we're to stay in chapter one. We are to embrace this chapter. I wanted to go on to chapter two because I'm a teacher and I know that I had a lot ahead of me. It's a lot to teach in this book. But I stayed in chapter one because of the voice of God. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is not in the book this morning. But it's in chapter one. We are doing this to build a divine relationship with a divine person. Amen. Chapter one is the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a divine person. And what we're doing, we're building this love relationship. Yeah. If you don't do it out of love, it's not going to be a real relationship.
Well, that's good.
All of us can relate to love.
Amen. Yes.
You've been in love some point in your life. So we know how love is. So we're building this love relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason I could not get out of chapter one. I said it was Mary. It's Mary and the Holy Spirit that kept us in there. So yeah, if you want to get married, just go into the Holy Spirit. And I know you're not going to do nothing to him. But I heard his voice through her voice. When she say, let's kind of remain there. But what we'll be talking about this morning is so vital to the relationship with the divine person. It's training ourselves to hear the voice of God. Hearing his voice is so essential in this time that we're living in. One of the requirements of let me do my backdrop scripture this morning. Let's go to Hebrew. The first, let's do that backdrop scripture. And you know what? I'm gonna read it, but this will probably be the only scripture that I really read because of time. I'm looking at my time, and it's so much that we need to settle and talk about when we talk about hearing the voice of God. Okay. Hebrew 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, what days are y'all living in?
Last days.
Has in these last days spoken unto us by his son, Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now this is the writer of Hebrew, introducing us to a God talking or speaking through another way, through his son. In the Old Testament, he said, I did it through my prophets. He spoke through the prophets. And these last days, he's speaking through his son, Jesus. So that's my backdrop scripture, is hearing the voice of God. Hearing, I want y'all to get it. Y'all say hearing.
Hearing.
The voice of God.
The voice of God.
Now, through all these different ages and times, God did things different. In the Old Testament, he did sacrifices, you know, animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, he did it differently. Jesus was the sacrifice. He did these things different, but it was one requirement in the Old Testament, through every age, through every different time, generation, one requirement was the same, and that was to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
To hear the voice of God. That was one requirement of all of them, no matter what dispensation, no matter what age, is that they hear my voice. Praise God. As we look at John 10 and 10, what we're going to do, we're going to travel from the Old Testament back up into the New Testament. We're going to see how he mostly spoke in the Old Testament and how he's speaking now. Now, John 10 and 10 said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger, they won't follow because they hear my voice and they follow. Now, what we are liking in so many ways, not hearing his voice clearly. Mm-hmm. We have many distractions. We have many substitute of really truly hearing the voice of God. Since we're talking about a personal relationship, I'm talking about you personally hearing God's voice. Mm-hmm. When a prophet call you out and tell you something, it should be something you've already heard personally in here. Personally. So hearing the voice of God is very important. Let's go to Revelation. Don't turn there. We don't have the time. But what he said in Revelation, he said for the churches to hear what the Spirit has to say. If when the church rises to that level that they hear what the Spirit is saying, that they're going to come in alignment, kingdom alignment, and we're going to see some great things.
Yeah.
We hear everybody else's voice, but when you hear what the Spirit is saying, that's what he kept telling John, tell the churches to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what. Now, what made Jesus' ministry so great and so successful? He said, I only do that when I hear my Father's.
Yes.
He said, I only do that what I hear my Father say. That's what I do. That's what made his ministry. I mean, that's when he was always so on point. It wasn't just him, but he was hearing. He was talking to the Father. One of the things that the disciples saw in Jesus' life was his prayer life. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us this, teach us that. They said, what did they ask Jesus to teach them? Teach us how you pray. We know when you come out that prayer room, you turn into a different man. Teach us how you do it, how you pray. They didn't say teach us how to do this or do that, but teach us how to pray. Because when you come out, you're just different. See, when he was in there, he was talking to his Father, but he was also hearing his Father. Now, what we do so many times, we do all the talking. No hearing, no listening. But one of the hallmarks of the early church, they would say, hey, the Spirit said. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a two-way. I don't care. You can't have a relationship unless it's two-way. It's two. And you just can't be just alone and say, hey, I'm in a relationship. No, you're not in a relationship if you're by yourself. It takes two. If you're going to do all the talking in the relationship, it's not really a relationship. Face it. But if you're hearing, and one thing I like about in John, it said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. We forget that part. We just say, hey, my sheep hear my voice. But he said, and they follow. He said, I know them by name, and they know my voice. He said, they know my voice, and I know their voice, and I can call them by name. All of his sheep, and you can call them by name. That's personal relationship.
Yes.
That's real personal. You know, sometimes we, you know, don't know each other's names, you know. I know y'all name. I can call all y'all name because of the relationship.
Amen.
I see y'all every Sunday. I commune with y'all.
Yes.
And so that's what our apostle was talking about this morning when Mary was looking for Jesus and couldn't find him. And when he said something, she said, I recognize that voice. That's Jesus. That's sure enough Jesus. She recognized what? The voice, because of the relationship.
Yes.
Brother Charles can call me, and because of the relationship, I know who it is. I don't have to say, who is this? Because of our relationship, husband and wife relationship, I know exactly who it is. I never ask, who is this? I just say, what you want, honey? You know, it's not that. But she knew the voice. And that's what Revelation was trying to get the church to do. Say, hear the Spirit voice. Hear him. He's speaking. So if you want us to hear him, that means he's what? Speaking.
Amen.
He's saying something. But John said, you're not hearing his voice. You're hearing everything else. So many distractions. We live in a world where communication is so strong. We communicate in so many different ways. I mean, people are communicating every minute, all through the night. The things that they have with the young people is that they're communicating all night long. They're not getting their rest. They're on that phone. They found a different way of communication. They tap it in there. My sister, her grandson was over, and some other young people that came over, and nobody was saying anything. Everybody was on their phone, and she came in there just very upset. She said, why are y'all not talking? They said, we're talking. She said, what? We're talking. I mean, they were just going at it, she said. And they were talking. They were talking on their phones to each other. Communication is so strong, but we're talking too much to the wrong one. We need to be talking and hearing what the Spirit is saying. He's saying something to the church this morning.
Amen.
He's saying something to Fresh Start this morning. If you could hear him, he would say, come up. Enjoy life on the level of living where I am. He's calling us deeper.
Yes,
he wants us to go deeper. Now, I said, you know, some of the reason that we don't hear the voice of God. You know, sister that sung this morning, she was telling me, she said, I don't know. She said, God was talking to me, and he said, sing a different song, you know, sing this song, you know. She heard the voice of God. Many times we're hearing the voice of God and don't really know that it's here. That's what Samuel did when he was a child. He had to train. See, you got to train your ears and get in his presence and know he's speaking. Now, Samuel, when he kept hearing the voice of God, he kept going to Eli. He said, Eli, are you calling me? Eli said, no, Samuel, I had not called you. And he kept going back and forth. Eli said, wait a minute, I'm not calling you. But the next time you hear that voice, you said, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. And Samuel grew in hearing the voice of God. He was one of the greatest prophets, seers in the world. Yes. In that time, he was the greatest. He heard God. I mean, even when he went down to the house of David to anoint for a king. And so David's father brought out all the good-looking sons, because he had some real tall ones, good-lookings, and all this, and he brought them all out and just lined them up. And Samuel had the oil to anoint, like God told him to go down there and anoint. But each one he got ready to pour it on got, Sammy could hear the knock. That's God calling. We here. We here.
We have ears to hear.
But everyone he went to pour it on, what did he do? He said, I can't pour it on him. Then he asked Jesse, do you have any more sons other than this one? Jesse said, yeah, I got one more, but that ain't the one you want a nun. He's a little, you know, he don't meet this quality. He don't meet queen, king qualification. And Samuel said, hey, go out there and get him out there because God told me, he told me to come down here and anoint one of your sons. And none of these are, I know I heard the voice of God. And so he went out there and got him, and boy, didn't he let that oil pour when David came back in. See, David was anointed to kill. Okay, I'm getting over and teaching on the anointing. He was anointed to kill the giant. He had an anointing for the giant. He needed an anointing for that giant. And he was anointing him also for king. But hearing the voice of God, that's what God, and one other reason sometimes that we overlook why God wants to talk to us daily, it's because we're in the family of God. And when you're in a family, you want to talk to that person. When my son ain't called me in 2 days, I pick up that phone and I call him and say, son, what? He said, Mama, got a little busy and I couldn't call you, but I had you on my mind and I was going to call you, you know, but hey, I hadn't heard from you. I want to hear from you because you're family. And when you see over in the third chapter, Paul brought the family in heaven. He said, I'm bringing the family of heaven and the family on this earth together to pray that you'll be strengthened. And he wanted the family up there to pray for this family down here that we'll be strengthened in the inner man.
Yes.
And so sometimes we forget that we're in the family of God. And when you're in a family, you want to hear from one another. You want to, you know, keep in touch, you know. But that's another reason he wants us to hear. And when you hear, it builds the relationship. When you hear, when it's two in relationship, some of the voices I've heard a lot of people say, it's just a communication. We don't talk. My husband and I don't talk. We don't communicate. And that calls for a divorce. But hearing the voice of God is so essential in this hour. Yes. Is that we hear him. For many reasons, for this life, that we actually hear his voice. Let him talk some. Don't do all the talking when you're in prayer. Don't do all the talking. Now, what you need to do is still, God wanted to talk so, I've got so much, and I'm looking at my time, I've got so much I'm trying to pour out to you in this little bit of time allowed it. But God wanted to talk even to the people that he brought out of Egypt. He told him, he said, prepare. So you got to prepare yourselves to really hear the voice of God.
Yes.
Because God is a spirit, and we're spirit too, spirit to spirit. But he told Moses what to do. He said, I want to speak to him, you know. I'm going to speak to him from the mountain, tell him to get ready, tell him to do this, to prepare himself for me to speak. And he spoke. And those children of Israel said, listen, Moses. They said, now listen, you go to God and you talk to him. We don't want to hear him talk. He scares us when he talks. I mean, we don't want that. So they didn't want that personal relationship with God. They wanted Moses to be in the middle. They said, Moses, you go and you let him talk to you. Then you come back and you tell us what he said. Because after the day, I mean, they said, we don't want to hear him speak to us anymore. Do y'all remember that story where they just didn't want God speaking? God wanted to speak to them.
Yes.
those that wandered in a wilderness. He wanted to speak to them. He had something to tell them. I'm like, Lord have mercy. And they didn't want him to speak to them. But through every generation, the requirement is what? Hearing the voice of God. That's what he wants us to do. To learn how to hear his voice, we must prepare to hear his voice. Because, see, the world is speaking. The enemy is speaking. So we have to silence some of those voices. Silence some of those voices. And allow him to speak. And one of the things we got to do, what we haven't done, we don't expect God to speak to us. We got to expect God to speak to us every day. If you're not expecting it, build up your expectation from now on. And say, God, it's my birthright to hear from you.
Amen.
I mean, that's part of your birthright. That's part of your inheritance. Mm-hmm. That you hear from God. It's certain things he want to tell you personally. Personally. And that was, you know, one of the things of the early church. They communicated. They said, and the Holy Spirit says, and the Holy Spirit said this, and the Holy Spirit said that. They heard what the Spirit has to say. And somewhere down through the books, over in Revelation, somewhere it was dropped, they stopped hearing what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Not just to the world. We're saying the world is bad. But if you can hear what he's saying to the churches, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. If we can hear him, we can fix some things.
Amen.
Huh? We can change something. You know, he's trying to tell us, hey, it's time for revival. Hey, I'm trying to get you ready. But you're not hearing that. Mm-hmm. It's time to hear what the Spirit say and follow.
Yes.
Hear and follow. He said, I'm saying this to the church. I'm not saying it to the world. Even to the world, he said, today you hear my voice, heart, not your heart.
Yeah.
God is speaking. Mm-hmm. Let's not be the only one speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a young man here that's getting ready to get married. And Jonathan, do you do all the talking? Do you, I mean.
Oh, no.
Is it two ways?
Definitely.
Oh, okay, okay. So that's a pretty good relationship. That's a good relationship.
Yeah.
If one person's not doing all the talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring y'all into hearing the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Actually hearing. Not just every now and then, but hear God. I had to hear God. And I want to teach you on the ways that we hear. I was going to take you to the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay. And just show you how we hear now and the reason why we hear the way now. You know, in the Old Testament, he spoke in audible voices, real loud and all that, you know. He did a lot of that. Sometimes he spoke, you know, it wasn't audible, but most of the time he spoke, it was audible. Now, do he still speak audible? Yes, he does. But his primary way, since the Holy Spirit is living in you, is that he speak in you. He don't have to be very loud. If he's in you, he don't have to be very loud.
Right.
I'm getting a little loud because y'all are a little distant from me, so you can hear me. But if he lives in you, he don't have to get that loud, Brother David. If he chooses to speak to you audible, it's okay. Take it. Cherish it. But if you don't, some of us are missing it like Samuel was because he wasn't trained. He didn't recognize that was the voice of God. So he did not. But Eli realized, hey, that's God talking to you. I ain't calling you, but I know God is. And God called Samuel. And he